Welcome back to part two of Religion Matters. This is Brenda Dunn with you. And if you want to get in touch, you can email me on religionmatterskfm@gmail.com. My first guest this morning is Bishop Donal McKeown. He is the Catholic Bishop of Derry and he's the bishop with responsibility for youth ministry, one of the bishops with responsibility for youth ministry in the Catholic Church in Ireland. And he's also off to World Youth Day in Krakow this coming week. And he joins me this morning for a chat. Good morning, Bishop Donal.
Good morning, Brenda.
Lovely to have you with us on Religion Matters.
Good to be on with you as well. Thank you.
Now, first of all, what exactly is World Youth Day?
World Youth Day is a very big international event begun by Pope John Paul II way back in the 80s, where normally every 3 years there's an invitation to gather young people from all over the Catholic world and people who are not Catholics as well to come together to celebrate our faith. And to focus on a particular theme to prepare us better for evangelization as well as for living our faith. So last time it was in Rio de Janeiro. There were 3.2 million people there for the concluding Mass on the Sunday morning, according to reports from Rio. And this year it's in Krakow in the south of Poland. And with the year of mercy, we're taking the theme Blessed Are the Merciful from the Attitudes, but there's a big strong emphasis on Pope John Paul II, of course, and former Archbishop of Krakow, and on the whole Sister Faustina
mercy yeah.
emphasis as well. So I think it all comes together very clearly. Krakow is the ideal place for the Year of Mercy for us to focus on mercy in our modern society.
Now, it's a nice, handy, short trip this year for you and for the rest of the pilgrims going from Ireland. I would imagine, I know it's been in Australia before and as you said, Rio de Janeiro. You are travelling yourself to World Youth Day.
Ah, yes, please God, I'll be there. All right, we have a group going from Derry, but I think there's about 2,500 going from Ireland that we're aware of, and we've been trying over this past number of months to organise coordination meetings to arrange, for example, for us on the Wednesday evening in Krakow for all the Irish, or at least all those who want to come together to a very large city centre church so that we can share ideas, pray together and be proud of our identity as a national church of young people who have an enthusiasm for their faith.
How many times or how many World Youth Days have you been to?
Well, I was ordained bishop in 2001, so I've been to all of them since then, with the exception of Australia. There was Toronto, and there was Cologne, and Madrid, and then Rio, and now Krakow. And I must say, I've always found them a wonderfully uplifting experience, where there's a great sense of freedom, of being with people of faith, of having trust in the people that you're there with. A good celebration of hope in a world which, for example, after the terrible events there of Thursday night, it really must be very doubting of its own ability to handle the future. So I think the popes down through this past number of decades have been very keen to say people of faith are people of hope. They can generate hope even in difficult circumstances. So I've been glad to be at all those venues to ensure that a good message of confidence in the future, of the power of God's grace and of the goodwill of so many people can really be heard around the world at difficult times.
Now, you mentioned the dreadful events in Nice last Thursday night. Is there a concern with all of these young people and all of these large numbers of young people gathering in Krakow? Is there a concern for safety?
I think there's concern now in very many places. But large crowds gather in all sorts of places. Large crowds, very large crowds, gather in sun resorts all around the Mediterranean basin. Large crowds are gathered in the centre of Dublin. Large crowds are gathered in all the main tourist centres around Europe and around the world. So yes, we do live in dangerous times, but in many cases it's almost as dangerous to be around home sometimes as it is to be abroad. I have every confidence that there'll be good security measures taken for a very high profile event like that. The events take place in clearly controlled pedestrian areas where vehicles don't have access. So I'm quite confident that security will be at the top of their priority so that people can relax, celebrate the grace of God, celebrate hope and forgiveness and community and belonging, and do so in a very safe environment.
And of course, the Pope will be joining all of the pilgrims as part of World Youth Day for the last few days as well.
Yes, we'll all be arriving in Krakow on Monday or Tuesday of that final week in July. Some of us, for example, our group from Derry, we're going out on the previous Thursday. in order to spend time in Katowice in a parish there to have some a more intimate experience with the Polish Church, and then travel over on the Monday. The full events begin on the Tuesday with the opening ceremony. Then there are this catechesis teaching on mercy in a whole range of languages on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, arrives on Thursday evening. There's the opening event there with him. Then we have Stations of the Cross with him around the streets of the city on Friday. Then there's the big vigil at the main site outside the city on Saturday evening. And then we all sleep out there, and then there'll be X Million for the concluding Mass with Pope Francis on the Sunday morning at 10, and then we all begin to head home after the announcement of where the next one's going to be.
And any ideas, no?
Well, what's generally been happening is that you have one in Europe and then one outside Europe.
Okay.
In other words, it was Toronto and then Cologne, and then it was Australia and then Madrid, and then it was Rio, and now it's Krakow. I certainly heard talk of Asia, perhaps South Korea, I've heard mentioned, but I really have no access to detailed information. But certainly there's a sense that Asia is a burgeoning Christian area. There's a lot of Christians in Asia, and I wouldn't be surprised if we were heading in that direction for 2019 for World Youth Day, as a celebration of faith, but also as a word of encouragement to the whole world.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, World Youth Day week, and that is very much an event-based week. But is the preparation before you go in the year or two up running up to World Youth Day, as well as what happens when people come home, is that as important as the events that take place during World Youth Day week?
Well, I think our culture is very used to events. You go to a concert, you do Glastonbury or somewhere like that there, with not much preparation and not much follow-up. I think what we have to work at in Ireland is a greater coordination of youth ministry across the country, as well as the knitting together of a whole series of possible events, because we had the Eucharistic Congress, International Eucharistic Congress 2012. We have the World Meeting of Families in 2018. Then we have another World Youth Day in 2019. And it's important that we use these events, these big World Youth Day events, not just as nice experiences, but as part of a more cohesive program of formation for young people, so they actually can grasp the core elements of our faith, which they don't pick up by osmosis from the culture anymore, and to ensure that we get the best out of these events as part of our Irish national programs for the formation of young people who are fit to proclaim and live their faith in the 21st century.
Now, the Catholic Church does catechesis very well in primary schools and in secondary schools as well. How vibrant is youth ministry outside of those spaces?
There's a major change in emphasis, I think, going on across the Catholic world, recognising that belonging is a very important part of believing, and thus emphasising the need to ensure that the parish, that belonging in the parish, that involvement in the parish is part of the growth in faith together for young people. And there's a range of projects around the country that emphasise the parish dimension. Schools can do something, but they cannot be sub-delegated to do all the faith formation unless families are supported in handing on faith and parish communities create opportunities for young people to grow in faith together, particularly after confirmation time. Then I think we're missing a wonderful opportunity. Jesus walked with his disciples and trained them, taught them, and I think we have to find opportunities, and we certainly have a number of wonderful movements in the country that do that. I think it's up to us now to ensure that we also have a parish-based dimension to formation for young people, where they can meet many times with their schoolmates, but in a different context to grow in their understanding of faith, in a sense of church, in a pride in who they are, and in the skills to share that faith with their own contemporaries, where, as we know, for many young people, there's so much despair and so much lack of certainty or hope about the future. So we have a big job to do in the Irish Church in the context of the National Directory for Catechesis and the Framework for Youth Ministry in Ireland. We have the documents. It's a matter now of ensuring that we can get best practice out to the ground so that people can experience church locally as vibrant and energising and in a place for hope and enthusiasm and healing.
You mentioned linking what we have and connecting. does online social digital media have a role to play in that, especially with young people and young adults?
I know from being on Facebook myself, but I use it sparingly, mainly to put on online information about events or homilies or talks that I've given. But that's where so much information is passed on. And I think we have to have a presence there, because that's where young people are. Some people may think many of us spend too much time on social media, but that's where people are, and that's where Jesus would want us to be, to ensure that we get the message out in whatever way we can to bring hope and healing to our world. We're not looking to recruit or to dragoon people into church. We're looking to share the good news of the gospel, because we believe, all of us, that that really is the source of life here as well as life hereafter, and that there's such an enormous need for it in the pain that so many people experience in our modern society and the fragmentation. So we're offering good news and offering that in the context of belonging, of community, of discipleship, traveling together, and in many ways World Youth Day is a good symbol or a symbolic way of being people journeying together in faith and in hope and in trust.
And while I have you this morning, are there any words of consolation that we can offer, that you can offer as a faith leader, as a church leader, to people who are questioning humanity, questioning their hope that they have in the world at this time when we see more and more attacks happening like what happened last Thursday? Is there any words that you can put on something like that by way of consoling people?
Well, I was a priest in Belfast for most of my years, from 1977 onwards, and we certainly came through times when we had to say, what on earth can I say into this awful slaughter, this family that's been so terribly bereaved, these people who've been so maimed? And there are no simple words. There were no simple words at the foot of the cross either. But the core Christian message is that even if things are terrible, we believe that ultimately our lives are precious, are valuable, and are meaningful. And that behind every Calvary lies some strange manifestation of new life, of resurrection in Jesus Christ. So I don't have any glib answers, and that's the last thing people at funerals in Northern Ireland wanted during the Troubles. But they wanted that sense that, yes, there's a God in the midst of this mess somewhere. But it's also a challenge then to people who are powerful to say, why is this happening? Why are you allowing this to happen? What are we perhaps in our Western countries doing, and what have we been doing that is part of the awful things that happened? Because what happened in Nice a couple of days ago, you've had level of slaughter in some countries every day. And I think we have to be very conscious of the awfulness that's perpetrated, sometimes in our names, very often with the weapons that we produce, rather than just seeing the individual incidents. It's important to console those who are grieving, but also to ask awkward, prophetic questions about those who are in power.
Bishop Donald McKeown, Bishop of Derry, thank you for being with us this morning on Religion Matters.
My pleasure, Brenda. Thank you very much. God bless.